Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
From the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about life and money. We are reclaiming stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Anything you hear about in this broadcast, you can find at Chris Recommends, again, at stewardship.com. Our phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. We have a call from Boulder City, Nevada. This is Mike. Mike, how you doing?
Hi. Glad to take my call.
Yeah, I'm honored. How can I help you?
Well, about 2 years and 3 months ago, a good friend of mine, in fact, we've been friends for 35 years, she called and asked me to loan her $2,000. Well, at first I thought it was odd because she's got an income of over $8,000 a month. But being a good friend, I said, well, sure, I'll go ahead and wire transfer you the money. Well, she said she'd promise to pay it back in 3 months. 4 months goes by and no money. I called her and she sent me $500. She said, Mike, I just don't have any more money. I said, okay, well, you know, that's okay. Go ahead and send me some more in next month. Well, 2 months later, she sends me another $500.
Mike, I see where this is going.
Yeah.
I see where this is going, my friend. She still hasn't paid you back, and you want to know what you can do about it.
She has not paid me back. She owes me $1,000, and I don't know what recourse I have.
Yeah. Why do you think she's not paying you back?
I haven't a clue. She won't answer the calls, or goes to voicemail, and she won't pick up. And one time she did. She said, I don't have any money. I can't pay you right now. So I know she's lying.
Let's evaluate your heart. How does all this make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel like I've been deceived by a person I've known for 35 years. In fact, we used to date.
Okay.
And we were friends.
So,
and it's disheartening.
Disheartening, frustrated maybe?
Yes, it is.
Would you say even a little bitter?
I don't know about bitter, but...
Well, you did tell me 2 years and 3 months ago.
That's right.
You've got this thing pretty locked down.
That's right, I do.
I would say I can hear it in your tone. You're on the fence of bitter. What's your income?
My income is about 90.
All right.
A year.
So I'm going to help you out here, okay?
She makes more than I do.
Oh, that's not part of the equation. I'm going to help you with this. She obviously needs it more than you do. And if you want to take your bitter feelings and make them better, I'm going to give you advice that is totally countercultural. You wouldn't get this from any secular financial advisor or any, I'm not an advisor, but any kind of financial help at all. And I'm going to say, give it to her. Give her the other $1,000 in Jesus' name. Make sure you give it to her, but make sure you know Jesus is the reason why, Jesus inside my heart is the reason why I feel comfortable giving this to you. And I'm just going to give it. Don't make her feel guilty about it. Just say, I want to bless you with it. Because here's the deal. She's adding drama to your life. Now, there's conflict in life. Conflict is inevitable, but drama, well, it's a choice. We can choose to allow that into our life. And $1,000 in your $90,000 world is not a huge deal. I would say in the future, don't lend money. Give money. I was in this exact situation almost that long ago, about 2 years ago, and I made this mistake. I loaned a guy $2,500, and he gave me $100 here, $100 there, and I said, bro, it's been 9 months. Here, just have it. You obviously need it. And it totally released my spirit. And I'm like, why did I do that? I knew not to loan money, and I did it again. And so I would just tell you, don't loan money. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously, well, they'll reap generously. So just, you know, the Bible says about giving cheerfully. And cheerfully comes from the word helios, which is Greek for hilarious. And I would go from bitter and deceived and disappointed and just release it and just give it to her hilariously and watch your spirit change. this $1,000 is not worth it. You really don't have any recourse unless you want to go through months of court battles and you're going to pay a bunch of money and you're still not going to get it. You're going to get maybe $20 after all the frustration. Just release it in your spirit. Give it to her. You'll be amazed at how you feel and how close you feel to God. Pray about it. Make sure that you're doing this because God wants you to, not because Chris said you need to. But that's what I would do. Give the money and release it in your spirit and move on. You got bigger fish to fry. All right, folks. Remember, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Got an email here from Cherry. She says, so we've gotten out of about $185,000 in debt in 10 months. Holy cow. That is impressive. We still have $89,000 left. We've made a lot of progress in a short amount of time. I guess I'm just emailing you for some much needed encouragement. Any words of wisdom? Well, first of all, I just want to say way to go. I mean, that is incredible. Folks, $185,000 in 10 months. Now, obviously, Sherry, you've got a big shovel. You've got a big income because that is a very big accomplishment. But I guess if I were to tell you any kind of encouragement, I'll just say stick to the plan. Remember what's working. A lot of times people will get halfway down the road and realize and just kind of forget, you know, what worked and get away from the plan, then get frustrated and say the plan didn't work. But no, you deviated from the plan. You stopped doing your budget and you started going back to the restaurants and you started making decisions like that, started justifying purchases. So stick to the plan would be the first thing I'd say. I would also say celebrate. Celebrate occasionally. Maybe once a quarter you go out to a nice restaurant. And just treat yourself to a nice restaurant once a quarter for celebration purposes. Now, don't fall into the trap of going to restaurants all the time. You shouldn't be in a restaurant with that much debt unless you work there. So make sure you plan very strategic celebrations. It might not be a restaurant. It might be something else for you. I can tell you what it's not going to be for you. It's not going to be a $3,000 vacation, okay? They're small celebrations. They're just to keep you motivated. And then, you know what I would do also from a spiritual standpoint? Harness all this sacrifice for spiritual growth. This is worship. Treat it as worship. And as you grow closer to God through every single sacrificial decision, it's going to keep you motivated because you're going to grow closer to God. How fun is that? So this is not about money. This is spiritual decisions that you're making. And then I'd also keep looking for creative ways for recreation and your frugality. Make it a hobby. Make it a fun hobby. Don't turn into a cheapskate. Don't let it affect your giving, your tithing or anything. But really to have some fun, that make a hobby out of being creatively frugal. Great question. And way to go, Sherry. Now we have a call from Erica from Fort Smith. Erica, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, I am blessed and grateful. How can I serve you?
Well, I just recently accepted a job from a nationwide franchise, and I signed a contract to become an independent contractor. And after reading a little bit about what was said about being an independent contractor, I just got a little bit more confused, you know. And so I was wondering if I should be putting back a certain percentage of my income to be able to pay taxes at the end of the year.
The answer is yes. You want to do that for sure. Really, all that jargon that they're going to give to you, it's just a big way to complicate. No one's going to hold your hand and pay your taxes for you because you're a independent, you're on your own, you're self-employed, independent contractor. You have to do it yourself.
Okay.
And because so few people do it well by themselves without having the accountability, a lot of folks come April 15th and they're shocked because they didn't save their taxes all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's this thing called estimated taxes, and they kind of ask you to do that quarterly to pay estimated taxes. And you can talk to your tax professional as far as your tax bracket,
okay,
whether it's, you know, 18%, 20, 28, wherever you're at. But, you know, maybe 20% is a good number every quarter. And yeah. And so you want to make sure you do that. Otherwise, April 15th, you're going to be looking at yourself in the mirror going, oh no. you're going to get nailed with
that. Right, and we don't want that.
Done. Yeah, 20% of your annual income all at once. So, yeah, you definitely got to do that, and you want to talk to your tax professional as far as a good amount to estimate.
Okay.
And they can do that for you. And I think, actually, the IRS, they want you to be within $1,000. Otherwise, there's a fee associated with it, a small fee, if you're not within $1,000. So then you really want to make sure that tax professional helps you with that.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much, Erica.
All right. Have a good one.
Folks, Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. You might be asking, man, paying taxes, it is such a burden, such a pain in the tail. Why do we have to pay the government money? Maybe you're in one of those seasons of your life where you've forgotten how you drive. You drive on roads. You experience parks. Lots of public services. How about policemen and policewomen and firemen and firewomen and all these things that we have? Well, that's what taxes are for. And so you might be in a season of your life where you're very frustrated with taxes. Now, there's another whole entire conversation about how they're spending the tax money. Are they being good stewards? Are they doing a great job? I don't know if what they're doing in your particular area of the country. But what does the Bible say about taxes? You ever wondered that? Do we biblically have to pay taxes? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. That's debatable in some areas. But it says, pay to all who are owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So again, Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, we are to pay taxes, folks. And Erica, you know, if you don't have a tax professional, of course, you can check out our ELPs at stewardship.com. Right underneath Chris Recommends, we have ELP tax professionals that we have already filtered and that we endorse. Well, folks, we're talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class, as a home study, or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or you can call us at 866-357-3283.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This email comes in from Tony. It says, hello, I was hoping that you could help me guide my 10 and 12-year-old children on how to set goals for their save envelope. They have small things that they like to spend money on, like games and makeup and books. What do I have them save for now? Also, what percentages would you recommend for give, save, and spend? Thank you and have a blessed day. Well, I would ask them what they want. What do you want? Maybe get them to think a little bit. You've got here 10 and 12 years old, and it looks like you have a daughter as well. What do kids have that are 2 years older than them? What are some things that they would want? And it's not just material things. Actually, it'd be better if you kind of opened up their mind to things that aren't materials. Of course, you've got gadgets and you've got, you know, computers, those kind of things, shoes. But then think through, like, maybe it's an amusement park. Maybe it's a trip. Maybe it's a book set. Maybe it's a missions trip. Open up their minds. Get them to think, what is it that you want? I think you got to give them, help them with their vision for what they want financially, what they want for their life, what's important to them, and use that conversation to grow closer with your children. As far as recommendations for give, save, and spend, I would do 10% for giving, 20% for saving, and 70% for them to spend. You really want to make sure that you don't squash that motivation. They don't get the giving and saving quite yet, so let them spend a little bit early. And then you can work on those percentages in each season and try to change them a little bit as you guys discuss stewardship. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and up next is Whitney calling in from Los Angeles, California. Whitney, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's it going out there in L.A.? We're about as far away as we can get from each other.
Pretty good. kind of hot, which is I should be used to it.
Whitney, how can I help you today?
I'm 27 years old. I go to the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, and I'm getting my master's actually right now in public relations with a concentration in music. And I'm just like, unfortunately, I like a lot of other students, I'm in a lot of student loan debt. And honestly, I think coming into the school, I was kind of under the impression there were going to be a lot of scholarship opportunities, and that just isn't the case. So I'm trying to fight through debt and, you know, quote, punch my debt snowball in the face with part-time jobs. The problem that I keep coming up against, though, at different ages of my, different stages of my life, different towns, different jobs, the same problem is I'm trying everything I can, you know, to work as much as I can, to make ends meet. I'm barely doing that, trying to go to school, you know, trying to be responsible because I realize, obviously, you know, the debt is totally mine and I accept that.
I was going to ask how much debt is there?
Too much. It's, I would say, around about 80,000.
These jobs that you're doing, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I work at retail. I work actually at one of the Apple stores in Los Angeles. And I also drive part-time. I just started for Uber. Actually, I heard Dave Ramsey endorsing it and thought that I would give it a try. and Apple actually pays really well, and they take really good care of me, and they're helping me with education assistance per year, per school year. They pay like just under about five or a little over 5,000. So I'm trying to work as best as I can as a part timer going to school as well. But I feel like I'm also not dedicating time to my dreams. I'm also a singer, and I'd like to eventually actually go towards being kind of like the Hillsong genre sound, but as my own artist. And I really feel like I'm called to that because I've been training for singing for a while and I adore it. And I'd also like to create a community online where artists are networking with each other. And I'm not dedicating any time. You know, I'm running around like a crazy person trying to make ends meet, but I just can't do that. And I'm being torn, you know, between my dream and neglecting it and feeling like that part is just not being fulfilled. But I'm also running around into the ground with no money to show for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Whitney, let me, I'm going to attempt to oversimplify what's happening here because you've got a lot of emotions involved and you're the one that has to go to work and then you get in your car and you go to another job. So you've got to definitely, this is very personal to you. I'm going to make it just a little bit more objective.
Okay.
And kind of give you some objective advice.
Awesome.
One more number I'd like to have is through all your jobs, what do you think is a good round number for your income annually?
Annually, just because I just started with Uber, I'll stick with Apple. I make about $20,000 a year. Probably about $20,000.
Okay. So what I hear from you is that you possibly are going to school for something that you're never going to use that degree.
Right.
If you want to get into worship, for me as an ex-pastor and who is pretty much the biggest churches in the country and the world, I've met with their lead pastors, and no one's ever asked for a master's degree.
That's fair.
And really, I don't even know of any that are asking for a bachelor's degree. Of course, they want to know that you are willing to learn and you're willing to, that you've got the ability to learn and be resourceful, and that's what you get a lot with a bachelor's degree. But few times does that actually come up in a conversation. It's more of what's your experience, how much have you served, and can you lead at this capacity, your competency, your chemistry with the organization, how you fit the culture. All those things are really, really important. So for me, I would suggest that you stop school. And actually this is a good time for the phone call because I wouldn't even enroll for your next semester.
Wow.
I wouldn't say like stop it forever. I would just temporarily push pause, be patient. You're only 27. Think through life as a, you know, this is not just a 5-year deal. So be patient, pay off your loans for a few, volunteer like crazy and work some very good paying jobs. keep all of your expenses really, really low and just get crazy intense and pay this thing off in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And then in 4 years, you've already volunteered. You've been in the pipeline for whatever, you know, church that you want to matches your style there in LA, which there's some really good churches there.
Yeah, I'm actually at the Hillsong in LA.
Yes,
they just,
yeah.
They just started it, yeah.
Yeah, I think you get in their pipeline and start serving. It might even be singing for the kindergartners to begin with, and just and worship like crazy doing that, and minister and serve people and serve parents and get super involved and work like crazy, keep all your expenses down, and then 4 years you very well could be singing at a Hillsong type genre, even at Hillsong.
Right.
I know one thing about Hillsong is that. People that sing there are from their pipeline. They're from the inside. So you have to get super involved there. And I know you didn't mean Hillsong directly, their genre, but you know, those churches that are you know, very reputable and seeing God do some incredible things on a mass scale, you have to get involved. So I would stop. Really, what you're doing with the school is you're spending money you don't have, which is not a very good financial principle. So I would stop school immediately.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have one more year. I totally, it's so scary to, not return, I guess.
Well, at 27 with a master's degree, you're not going to get a master's degree type position anyway. They're going to want you to pay your dues for 5 to 7 years anyway.
Right. That's true.
A 27-year-old with a master's degree is about useless.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you so much for your help. I have a lot to think of, but thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love it. If you stay really, really close to God, and every time you show up at church, you are full of passion and vigor, and you're serving people like crazy, and you're very, very loyal to that organization, and ultimately loyal to God, God's going to bless the mess out of you.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Whitney. Got an email here from Kyle. It says, "Hey, Chris, I'm 28 years old, have a good paying job. My wife and I have a household income of $65,000 a year. While I'm grateful for how much we earn and the jobs that God has blessed us with, I still desire to make more money. How do I tell the difference between the love of money and having a desire to make more money?" What a great question that is. It all comes down to why. Why do you want more money? Why do you have a desire for more? Why do you want to make more money? Is it to maximize your skills, to steward your skills better? Is it to have more impact, to steward your leadership better? Is it to be able to give more? Or is it to have more toys? Or maybe have more security, that money is going to give you security? Is it fueled out of some kind of lack of contentment? Well, either way, money is not the idol. It's what you want to do with it that could be the idol, if it's anything other than God. So it all depends on what your plans are. Why do you want more money? That's a great question for you and your wife to sit down and talk about. What do we want to do when our income is doubled? What a great wrestle. What a great wrestle. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You might be familiar with this verse. A lot of our listeners are. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you keep your first priority God, then you're going to get much further, much faster. But if it's all about accumulating more money, well, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So it goes all the way back to the why, Kyle, and it's a very good question to ask. It's actually a very good question for us all to ask. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show hosts ask you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're here as a free service. But in order to be able to continue, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show. 2, check out stewardship.com. And for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage his blessings, his way, and for his glory. God bless you.